Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Amy Trask of CBS Sports, former NFL executive. Amy, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I am well, and I hope you are too. And if you're the bull and the fox, what do I get to be for this show? Should I be the bear because I was a Cal Bear?
That's acceptable.
You can be a bear.
Okay. We'll go with that.
Right? I mean, it's got to be a vicious animal because we represent kind of vicious animals to some degree.
Oh, yes. You're very vicious. I'm actually quite afraid.
I mean, yeah, it couldn't be a rabbit. Like, that would be a little, you know, it's got to be a tough animal. So
well,
there you go.
Let's go with bear then, since I was a Cal Bear.
I like that. You know, Amy, speaking of toughness, you wrote an article a few weeks ago, which I love, because I think the NFL GMs are a bunch of whining Neanderthal babies, and I can't take it. At first, when they decided to go with free agency a few weeks ago, my first reaction was bad look. And then within 24 hours, I realized, no, this is what people want this. We want the distraction as long as nobody's being put in risk, which is the case with free agency and, again, with the draft. And you wrote that column, and I just want to read like a little bit of it because I love this, and I brought it up when you wrote it. You don't understand how hard it is, quote, and no one understands how hard it is, are two refrains I heard from coaches and players, personnel execs, over and over and over again throughout my career. I heard these refrains uttered by men as they were standing on the practice field at training camp in the midst of the Napa Valley, wearing clothing that had been provided to them and was washed for them by the team, who drove to training camp in cars provided to them and gassed and washed for them by the team, and who were paid considerable amounts of money to perform their jobs. I could go on and on, but in an era where millions are out of work and millions are being, and everybody's being affected, to hear the GMs complain to me is nauseating, and I loved your column. I think you were dead on with it.
Well, thank you very much. I had a lot of fun writing that for The Athletic for that very reason. I went on a little bit of a, you know, for me, it constituted a rant because I'm not a big rant girl. But I did. I heard that over and over and over throughout my career. You don't understand how hard it is. No one understands how hard it is. And the thing I left out of the article is not only were they wearing clothes that were purchased for them, provided to them, and washed for them by the team, et cetera, so too was every meal prepared for them and served to them. And my answer was always then, no, it's not that hard. When you compare what you are doing, I'm not suggesting there aren't challenges. I'm not suggesting there aren't pressures, but there are people who really do have hard jobs. And when we look at what our frontline workers are doing right now, what medical providers and hospital staff and first responders and frontline workers are doing, for any general manager to be complaining that it is too hard to draft from a remote location just gets me all het up.
Yeah, me too. Disgusting.
Yeah, I'm with you, Amy. To me, it seems like this day and age, there's so much technology. This just be easy. I mean, like, if you're a team that actually prepared and, of course, if you feel good about your front office, your scouting department, you should thrive at this. I mean, everyone's dealing with the same issues. I mean, everyone's going to have to do this from their home. They're going to have to be on computers and things like that. Like, the fact that we've been doing fantasy football drafts on a computer for a decade, and these guys are acting
longer
like we have to, be in the same room. I mean, it's crazy to me, Amy.
And by the way, if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, I'm ecstatic.
That's right.
I have a general manager who went to Harvard.
Right.
And notwithstanding that one of my favorite lines in Legally Blonde is when Reese Witherspoon says of getting into Harvard, what? Like, it's hard. The fact is, it is hard to get into Harvard and to thrive at Harvard and graduate from Harvard. And your general manager in Cleveland was at Harvard not only as an undergrad, but a grad student. And if I recall correctly, his master's degree is in computer science. So right now, if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, I'm feeling pretty darn good about my general manager thriving at this moment.
It's a great point, Amy. And you look at it, not only is he Harvard, right, you gave all the things. He's also young, and younger GMs are more likely to be comfortable with technology. Kevin Stefanski, Paul DePodesta, all extremely smart guys in this group. And I agree. I think the Browns have an advantage. Some of these old school GMs, they wanted more time, and they wanted – like, we actually like the idea of spreading out the draft over more days just because it would be more entertainment. But, like, they should be able to handle this. It's really just not that complicated.
Of course. But – and agreed, and that was beautifully said. But I just want to know, do I get to be noted as the first person ever on your show to quote Legally Blonde?
100% yes.
Yeah, I think so, 100%.
Well, okay, you know, and speaking of which, while we're on that vein, before we get back to football, you know, we're doing some different things because there's not as much sports. So we do a new segment on our show called Top 5, where Dustin and I give our top five lists. Sometimes it's about sports, sometimes it's not. Today, we'll put you on the spot here, today we did top five movies that you could pick it up anytime, watch it, you'll watch it over and over and over again. Is Legally Blonde on that list, or are there five better movies than that?
I don't know if I would put it on the five, and you're going to actually have to let me get back to you on the full five.
But
I will give you two right now. I will give you two right now that I could put on it any minute and watch over and over and over again, and they're at opposite ends of the spectrum.
Okay.
One is Animal House.
Great
and
choice.
And kids, Google it, because if you are listening to this show and you have not seen Animal House, watch it. And number two is my all-time favorite movie, Apollo 13.
Mm. Both great choices. Neither one had them on a list. I'm guessing my partner has not seen either of those movies. Dustin, have you seen
it? I've seen Animal House.
Oh, you've seen Animal House. Okay.
Yeah, I have. I've seen Animal House. Those are good. That's a good list.
It's fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
Mr. Blutowski, 0.0.
Point
yes.
Zero.
Yes.
Amy, I'm telling you, think about this. When you hang up with us tonight, go back and think about all the great movies. Because we had a top five list, of course. And, like, then we had callers calling in. They're like, giving us all these other great movies. I'm like, oh, my God, I should have remembered that movie. There's a million movies. It's tough to make a top five list of movies like that.
You know what? I'm going to add right now The Sound of Music.
Sound of Music. Okay. That wouldn't be on my top five, but
I can understand. It would not be on my top five either. It's a great movie, but...
Amy, let's get back to some sports here with some football. We're talking about the draft. Amy Trask is with us. So if you were in a front office currently, what would your process be? Like, how would you be dealing with all this? Obviously, you'd be crushing it way better than these guys. Come on, let's be honest here. But what would your plan be going to the draft?
Well,
for
logistics, redundancy. My number one point would be redundancy. So, you know, if you're going to be doing this on an iPad, get your kid's iPad, get your wife's iPad. We'll drop a clean iPad on your doorstep. If you've got a cell phone, get your kid's cell phone, get your wife's cell phone, get your husband's cell phone. If you're, you know, the other person in the house, I'm rambling, but you understand what I'm saying,
which is
redundancy.
Right.
Have multiple cell phones, multiple computers, multiple iPads, and if you got to raid your kid's room to get them, if you got to raid your spouse's room to get them, if you got to call the club and say, drop some on my front door, I won't even open the door till you're gone, I'll bring them in, I'll clean them off. You need redundancy because we all know things can break, and you don't want to be that person who says, oh no, my blank broke, what do I do? Redundancy. Make sure you've got internet. Make sure you've got cellular connectivity. Multiple cell lines. I would be preaching redundancy.
We're talking with Amy Trask, football analyst, CBS Sports, former NFL executive. Amy, you know, we talk about, you know, nowadays mock drafts have become such a huge thing. And we appreciate it. It's good content to talk about, right? But what's funny to me is when the draft is over, the fans and media members, to some degree, will judge a draft pick based on mock drafts, which is crazy if you really think about that, but that's how it goes. And so if in general a mock draft had a player at 20, between 25 and 35, and the Browns take him at 10, fans are going to go crazy because of mock drafts. And that's really insane if you think about it.
I agree with you. It is crazy. I also think it's crazy to judge a draft right after a draft. If you talk
Good
to people
point.
Who've been in football for years and years and years and years, they're going to tell you, you can't judge a draft for a few years until you see how things play out. Look, the draft isn't a science. There's no Rosetta Stone. There's no Enigma code. If the draft were a science, there wouldn't be men in the Hall of Fame who went undrafted. And many people are saying, oh, you know, the draft we're going to have this year, there's going to be so many misses. Well, A, we don't know that. And B, let me tell you, here's a national secret. There's a lot of mistakes every year, not just this year. And I think what would be really fun and fascinating to do is in about 4 years from now, compare the success rate of each team and the league as a whole with the success rates prior to this year's draft. And see if there really were any more mistakes made. Because if there weren't, it proves our point, which is it just wasn't that hard.
Amy, if you were working in a front office and this was your year, like, I guess my question is how important are the pro days? Because a lot of players who didn't get invited to the combines did not get pro days. How much did you guys rely on tape as opposed to the combine slash pro day workouts?
Well, I do feel for the young men who did not get to have pro days, because there are some teams who absolutely rely on those days for, you know, for the less known players. So I do feel for those players. But the fact is, I've never understood why there is such emphasis by some teams on pro days. You have hours and hours and hours of game tape. Now, back when I started my career, it was game film, then it went to tape, now it's video. But however you look at it, you've got video of these men playing football. So, you know, I just don't think, if you've seen him play and you know how he can play, I don't think the pro day is as important as many people make it out to be.
We're talking with Amy Trask, CBS Sports. Amy, when you look at the draft, right, we always use the expression, do you draft for need, do you draft the best player available. And it seems to me, as an outsider, someone who's not been in a front office, that to some degree there's got to be a balance of both. I mean, it's easy to say take the best player available, but if you're picking at 10 and you have a starting quarterback, well, you're not going to take a quarterback if he's the best player available. So is it to some degree a balance of the two?
If I could jump through this phone line from Los Angeles to Cleveland right now, and if it was not against socially distancing rules for me to hug you, I would jump through this phone line and I would hug you for what you just said, because you and I are of like mind on
sharing
this.
A brain.
As the kids would say, yeah, we really are on this. It's, you know, as the kids would say, samesies. I have been saying that for decades. It's got to be a balance. If you have a phenomenal, young, terrific starting, going to be your quarterback for a lot of years, guys on your roster, are you going to take a quarterback when it's your turn to pick? Well, maybe you do with an eye towards trading him. Maybe you try to trade the pick so you can pick elsewhere. Or maybe if there's someone there that's a just dominant defensive end, you do that. Even if some people would say, well, you know, the quarterback's a little better than the defensive end. My point is, I think it needs to be a balancing. And you know what? I can't say it any better than you just did.
Thank you.
Adam's going to take that compliment.
That's it.
Amy Trask.
Amy Trask loves me. I'm going to use that in every segment going forward.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Amy, just a final question here on the Browns. You know, Baker Mayfield had a rough sophomore season, new coach, difficult circumstances, obviously, now in terms of implementing the system without having really an offseason program. How do you see this playing out, and how much of a disadvantage are the Browns at with a new coach and trying to put the system in?
Well, I always feel for a young quarterback who goes through multiple coaches and or multiple offensive coordinators and or multiple offensive systems in his early years. And Josh Rosen is another example. I don't think Josh has had the same offensive coordinator for 2 years running in his pro career. And if you go back to his college career, same thing. There were constant changes as head coach, at coordinator. And so, yeah, I think that I don't believe we have seen the best of what we're going to see in Baker. I think some consistency is going to be very, very helpful for him. I love what the Browns did in terms of bringing in another quarterback who, from the moment he joined, said, I'm here to help make Baker be as good as he can be. Look, we saw what Alex Smith did for Patrick Mahomes in Patrick Mahomes' first year. Alex Smith knew when Patrick was drafted, this is the guy they want, and Alex said, I'm going to do everything I can to make him the best he can be. And we heard Patrick Mahomes thank Alex for his tutelage when Patrick won the Super Bowl. I hope that's the case for Baker. It is a tough offseason, but maybe that will help.
Amy, last thing. You know, I'm not born and raised in Cleveland, but I've lived here long enough to know how heartbroken the fans were when the team was stolen from Cleveland and taken to Baltimore. As the Raiders again leave Oakland and this time go to Vegas, as someone who worked for the Raiders, how are you feeling about that?
Well, it's what I'm about to say is not mutually inconsistent. For those fans who are heartbroken by the team moving, I am heartbroken for them. They have supported the team in Oakland through thick and thin, and they're magnificent fans. And if they're for those that are heartbroken, I'm heartbroken for them. For those fans who are looking forward to the move and are going to follow them and go to games in Las Vegas, for those fans that are excited about a new stadium, I'm excited for them. So I'm happy for some and heartbroken for some, and I don't think that's mutually inconsistent.
Amy, we appreciate the time. If you have any more movies you want to – what's your favorite show you're watching on Netflix or anything right now? Best show you're watching?
I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this on the radio.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'll save that for next time. I think I'm going to save that for next time, because that way maybe you'll invite me back again.
Amy, did you watch Tiger King?
No, I did not.
I refuse to watch it, Amy. I refuse.
I refuse to watch that for some pretty significant reason. So, no, I'm not watching that.
Okay.
All right. Amy, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. You got it. Amy Trask, former NFL executive, CBS Sports, does a great job.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.